Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I am here in person with Rebecca. We are actually together in Kirkland, Washington. We're here for a fundraiser dinner, and we still have kids in our anti-trafficking program that we need funded. And so that's the focus of our dinner. And so all of the money that we're raising tonight will go straight to helping these kids in our anti-trafficking program. It will help enroll them in school. It will feed them two meals a day and put their parents in our savings and loan program. So right now we have a total of 640 kids in that program, but we still need funding for the school year for 280 of them. So Rebecca, do you want to share more about what you're going to be speaking tonight at our fundraiser dinner?
Yeah, I'm going to tell some stories of these kids that we have intercepted from being sold or have come back from slavery. I was on the ground 4 weeks ago in West Africa. I was able to meet these parents with their children. We really, in one of the meetings, wanted to honor them for bringing back their children from trafficking. And it's always sobering to hear their stories of the why. Why did they feel that they had to, you know, sell their kids? And yeah, it's just shocking still. I've been doing this work now for 13 years in those particular villages, and I'm still shocked every single time that I meet these kids and meet their parents and hear the why they felt they had to do it. And most of it is all poverty related. You know, sometimes it's their spiritual issues involved as well that they feel that they need to do this. But yeah, it's sobering. So yeah, I'm going to share the need, you know, that we have not only the stories of these kids that have come back from slavery that we interviewed, but also the amounts of what we need. We still need $168,000 by the end of the year to be able to fund to take care of these 280 kids that are not funded for the rest of the school year. And we, yeah, just are working basically the next few months on all these little fundraisers that people are helping us with. And obviously, if you want to do a house party yourself, we would love that, because that's really how this happens. You know, somebody says, I will, you know, host a party at my house, and, you know, you'll share stories, and we'll just ask people to help us with these children. And so if you are interested in doing that, that is how this work continues. That is how these kids are rescued. And the miraculous stories are unbelievable on the other end of what happens when people like you say yes.
Yeah. And, or if you'd like to help us in this endeavor and become a recurring monthly donor, it's roughly $50 a month for one child for the entire year to protect them. It's put on your heart to protect one child. That's $50 a month. And so the other thing, Rebecca, that I was interested in that you were sharing with me are these new apprenticeship programs that are going to be happening in the village. So these are for kids that some of them have come back from being trafficked and they're not able to attend school. And so we will provide for them a tutor, you know, for basic literacy, but they're asking to learn a trade. And these are different from a specialized trade that we have through our safe home. But Rebecca, could you share a little more about these 40 apprentices?
Yeah, so we currently have 40 kids that have been intercepted from being sold or come back from slavery that, you know, we got them later in life. So they're, you know, maybe went to a couple years of school, but they're not ever going to graduate. And so, you know, them and their family have asked, can our child please go into apprenticeships? You know, they're not going to finish school. So we've got 40 kids right now that need to be enrolled in these apprenticeship programs. If we don't enroll them, the families secretly will try to sell those kids because they need to keep those kids active, but ultimately they want to make money from those kids. So if they're in an apprenticeship program, it literally keeps the kids busy for a few years. And obviously we have 3 years to work on the family to encourage them, please do not sell your child. But at that time, once they're done with their apprenticeships, those kids are able to do their own business and literally provide for themselves. So that's our goal with those programs, is to help these kids be able to get a trade, and they're going to start their own business after their trade, and then they will be able to take care of themselves so that they're not at risk. You have to be at least 14 years old to do one of these apprenticeships in that country. So by the time they're 17, they're going to have their trade, and then they will be able to, you know, start that business and take care of themselves. And the risk of them being sold is taken care of, basically. It's non-existent after that.
So what's an example of some of these village apprenticeships that we're doing?
Yeah, so there's sewing apprenticeships, hairdressing, you know, food consumables. You know, one area they make peanut cakes. So basically they harvest peanuts and they're making these little peanut cake. They look like pepperoni sticks, honestly. And they just sell them all through the community. They're teaching a lot of, you know, baking consumable type things.
Crocheting so, too. Is one.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Crocheting. So knitting, crocheting, different little scarves and hats and table runners, embroidery type things they're learning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So lots of different type of things like that. Soap making is also in there. Palm nut harvesting, and then they make palm nut oil with it, which is very important for their cooking in that area. Yeah. So
how is this different from the kind of specialized apprenticeship programs that we have through our safe home?
Yeah. Our safe home, most of those kids have gone through a lot more education in our orphanage safe home. So even if we got them later, let's say we got them at 10 years old, they're being tutored every single day, and they're going to go to school probably at least until 16 years old, even if they started in kindergarten. You know, we try to get them to at least sixth grade so that they can go to a more specialized apprenticeship program. And those apprenticeship programs are like electrical, plumbing, mechanics, agriculture specialist, you know, juice making through their agriculture program. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot different, a lot more specialized. And those kids in that orphanage safe home are true orphans, no mother, no father alive, or completely abandoned by their parents, and they were court ordered to be with us. So it's different than the village kids that still live with their families. Mm-hmm. And we don't bring those kids into the orphanage safe home because they're not eligible. They're not an orphan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And those specialized ones, when they complete their program, it's also that they become a leader. Absolutely. Within their specialty, so that they could then train and have apprentices underneath them.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the programs that we're growing. So Rebecca, offline, you and I were talking about even traveling here. The Lord had a divine appointment for you. And we always love to encourage our audience, you know, to just be constantly asking the Lord, you know, who do you want me to see today? Pray for today, Lord. What are you asking of me today? And so Rebecca has a cool story of her Uber driver.
Yeah. So a couple days ago, I had to take an Uber to the airport, and my prayer is always, you know, Lord, keep me safe, and, you know, all these different things. And so I get in the Uber, and it was a gentleman that had a hoodie over his head, and he was very much seemed distressed. But I just, you know, prayed for safety as I got in, and, you know, we just kind of small talked and found out he had just moved here. So he said a year and a half ago, and he starts asking me what I do. And of course I'm telling him stories about, you know, the children, child protection work, anti-trafficking work. And he was fascinated by that. And, you know, he says, do you not fear when you do this? Like, are you afraid? Like, that seems like dangerous work. And I said, you know, I used to be afraid all the time, but the God who I serve is the almighty powerful God. And in this area in particular, I've learned that Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every demonic realm has to flee. And so what I was really afraid of in the past was the demonic realm in the area where we work. And so I told him some stories. I said, I don't know what you believe, you know, religiously wise. I don't know if you believe in the God who created you. I may be blowing you away right now with what I'm talking about. And he says, no, you know, I was raised a Christian, you know, but I went to church every single day growing up, but I am not walking that way now. And I said, okay, well, what do you believe? And he says, I don't know. And I said, okay. So then he just small talked a little bit more, asking me a little bit more about the work. And so I, you know, just kind of just told him what I share with the villagers, you know, that You know, they're deep entrenched in this demonic world and they don't know any other way to live except what they've been taught. And, you know, they're being cursed regularly. They're getting sick regularly. There's just so much trauma. And the only way they can be set free is through Jesus. And so I really share about, you know, John 10:10, that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and a life more abundantly. And so I just shared that with him. And then I said, okay, so now I'm going to stop because I don't want to I don't want it to be a preaching thing that you feel like you've gotten this Uber, you know, woman in here and you're, you know, getting preached to. I said, so I'm just going to, you know, let you just ponder on, you know, the stuff I already said, and I'll just keep quiet. And so I was quiet for a few minutes. And then he said, I want to tell you something. I was like, okay. Well, first he said, I want to thank you for what you shared. He goes, I'm not sure what I actually believe with it all, but I want to thank you. And I said, okay. And then he says, and then there's something that I want to tell you that I haven't told anybody. And I was like, okay. And he said, yesterday I decided that I don't think I want to live anymore. And I literally was like, what? Okay, wait a minute. And I literally had to did I hear correctly is what I thought in my head. Cause I'm thinking this really, did he really say that? And so I pulled myself forward cause I was sitting in the back seat and I said, okay, I said, can you just please repeat one more time what you just said? I want to make sure that I got that right. And he goes, yeah, okay. And then he said, you know, yesterday I was thinking that I don't want to live anymore. And I was like, okay, well, I want to tell you about that John 10:10, that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy you. And that thief is Satan, and that thief wants to kill you and wants you to be dead and is lying to you to say it's not worth living anymore. This life is not worth living. And so I said, the thoughts that you're thinking in right now, you believe they're your thoughts. And you believe truly that this is what you are telling yourself, that it's not worth living anymore. But I said, actually, that's the demonic realm that you're listening to. And that's the enemy wanting to kill you and steal your life and destroy you. They want you dead. So I said, that's the lie you have to silence and not listen to anymore. But you have to recognize that that's the enemy. That's Satan trying to take your life. It's not just your circumstances. It's not just you have a bad life and you're thinking these thoughts. It's literally the enemy trying to kill you. So I says, you're kind of at a good place. I know it sounds weird and horrible, but Jesus is right there to give you life and the life more abundantly. So where the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life, Jesus is right there to say, I have come to give you life and a life more abundantly. And so I said, you are at a crossroads right now. You either, in a sense, take your life or you turn your life over to Jesus. Like, you either go up or down. There's two choices for you right now because you can't survive when you start having those thoughts. You can't survive without, I didn't say this, I was thinking this afterwards, without a savior. I had said other words that I can't remember word for word because I was a little bit in shock that I was having this conversation with this guy. I literally said, will you please give Jesus a chance? Will you ask him to reveal himself to you? And will you ask him to show you how much he loves you? And I can guarantee you that he is going to show you how real he is, and he's going to reveal himself to you, and he is going to show you how much he loves you. And then I would pick up your Bible again and start reading, because the Bible is alive. And it will speak to you. The words will jump off the page because it's alive. And I said, just give Jesus a chance. And so then his little map quest was saying, drop Rebecca off on your right. You know, we were at the airport at that point. And I literally said after that, I said, okay, did you hear that? You drop Rebecca off on the right. And when you drop Rebecca off, as you're driving away, you literally have a conversation with Jesus and you tell him, I am going to give you a chance. Please reveal yourself to me and show me that you are real and show me how much you love me. And I said, I can guarantee you he will show up, because that's the God we serve. And that's the God that I see over and over and over. He's redeeming, he's restoring, and he's rescuing. And he does that in our life first, and then he does it through our life for others. And I said, every story that you heard today is because my life has been rescued, and I am able to help others be rescued and be a Jesus, touch people with Jesus through my life because of what God has done for me. So yeah, that was a little crazy. And I literally, as I was dropped off, he puts my bags down. I took a good look at his face because I hadn't really, his face was down when he picked me up and he had a hoodie on, you know, over his head. And I literally was like, wow, Lord, just speak to him. Do what you do so well. And what we see in the villages on a regular basis, you know. And so, yeah, every day God has different divine appointments for us. And, you know, as we're prompted, we never know what's going to happen in our life, but being willing and available. And, you know, the scripture that comes to mind is in Romans, where it says, without a preacher, without somebody telling them, they'll never know. They'll never know about Jesus if somebody doesn't tell them. And so this gentleman did know Jesus in the past, but he was in a despairing place where he needed somebody to speak life into him. And I thought, I'll bet his parents and his family are all praying that people would come into his path that will share the truth with him. And
what was his response when he dropped you off and you looked him in the eye?
Yeah, he just said, thank you. Thank you for talking to me. He goes, I'm going to try what you said. I said, okay. I says, you won't be disappointed. Yeah. And that was the goodbye. God takes over from there, you know.
I love it. This weekend, I had a wonderful conversation with some friends who attend my church, actually, who are from West Africa and the country that we work in. And we were talking very much about fear and, you know, with this, just the unknown sometimes of the spiritual realm. And I loved his response that he said, anytime, you know, the demonic realm is trying to steal your peace and replace it with fear, you know, obviously scripture says that God's perfect love casts out fear, but how is it that his perfect love casts out fear? Well, it's based in knowing first who is God and can you trust God? And the way that you trust God is you give him a chance. You do, yes, scripture teaches you about God, but also you got to give him a chance and give him your heart and your pain. And then the other thing is, what is your identity? And so what does a God say then about you? And do you believe it or not? So, because he's saying something to you about your identity. So trust God. What is your identity? Give him a chance.
Love it. Love it.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.